timeless information for your self-care and health. HRNradio.com.
And good afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to Backbeat Radio. I'm your host, Jay Cruz. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Black Friday. We're going to be focusing a little bit on Black Friday, Record Store Day, with some quotes about records and record stores from a couple artists and retailers and people a little bit later on this hour, and some other stuff about Record Store Day, in addition to a whole lot of music news today on Backbeat Radio. And here is some music news for the HealthyLife.net News at 7. Well, it's no secret that Los Angeles, Hollywood, is one of the places where some of the greatest musician all-star jams take place, and tonight will be no exception. Actually, tonight will be kind of a rare and special night here in Los Angeles, Hollywood to be the exact, not far from Hollywood and Highland intersection. The lineup featuring David Lee Roth's 1986 debut full-length solo album, The Band, on Eat 'Em and Smile, will reunite for the first time in 3 decades to perform songs with from that record with guest vocalist Ralph Sines, who is also known as Michael Starr of the band Steel Panther, kind of a legendary metal cover band here in Los Angeles. And that is going to happen tonight, November 25th. Guitarist Steve Vai, bassist Billy Sheehan, and drummer Greg Bissonette, as well as Mr. Starr, will be playing part of the free show at Lucky Strike Bowling Alley. Lucky Strike Live is part of the club's Ultimate Jam Night series. It's a pretty hip bowling alley. On Wednesdays, I've been getting some local legends come out and do jam night. Shows are free and usually jam-packed. Now, the Steel Panther frontman was the lead singer for the Roth-era Van Halen tribute band Atomic Punks from 1994 through 2008, where we had the nickname David Lee Ralph. Roth, of course, released the album Eat 'Em and Smile in the summer of 1986, following on his success of the 1985 EP Crazy from the Heat and his departure from Van Halen that same year. The single was previewed with the U.S. Top 20 single Yankee Rose and hit number 4 on the U.S. Billboard 200 on its way to selling more than 2 million copies in the States alone. Should be a fantastic jam night. I'm sure guitar shred students will be lining up as of yesterday, when the news was announced. The Boss, Bruce Springsteen, has released a stream of the unreleased track Party Lights as a preview of his forthcoming 7-disc box set, The Ties That Bind, The River Collection. It's due December 4th. The project will present material recorded for his 1980 double album, The River, which delivered the singer his first number one U.S. album on the Billboard 200 on its way to sales of more than 5 million copies in the States alone. Pretty impressive for a 2-record set, too. "We recorded and recorded and recorded and recorded," says Springsteen. "We were in the studio day after day after day, you know. I probably worked the hardest on some of the things that ended up as outtakes. You never knew. I never knew. I didn't know where it was going." The 4-CD, 3-DVD package offers the original double album alongside The Ties That Bind, a 10-track album that Springsteen recorded in 1979 as a follow-up to 78's Darkness on the Edge of Town, but never released. The set also includes 22 outtakes from the studio sessions alongside an hour-long documentary and interview with Springsteen and legendary 1980 concert filmed at Arizona State University in Tempe, Arizona. Might be where young Courtney Cox was in the audience and first saw Springsteen. You might remember she was in an appearance in his Dancing in the Dark video. As someone who's in the crowd, brought up on stage, who knew she'd later go on to be a sitcom star of Friends. Now, the package adds a hardcover 148-page coffee table book containing 200 studio and live photographs plus memorabilia documenting the album and the era. The band Stone Sour have released a stream of their cover version of the Iron Maiden classic Running Free, and it's going to appear on their forthcoming Straight Outta Burbank EP. Stone Sour frontman Corey Taylor had the following to say in a recent interview with Metal Hammer about the cover track. So if you're going to cover something, you've got to go for the best. And it's no secret, I'm a huge Iron Maiden fan. Running Free had the spirit of what we were looking for. It's a great groove, driving. It's got the Maiden guitar breaks. And that's why we chose it. The Straight Outta Burbank EP is set to be released this week as part of Record Store Day's Black Friday campaign. If you don't know what that is, well, releasing a lot of specially edition and limited edition vinyl the day after Thanksgiving for Black Friday and Record Store Day Round 2. Well, U2 have announced the rescheduled dates of a pair of concerts that they had scheduled in Paris that were canceled following the November 13th attacks in Paris. The band will perform at the Accor Hotels Arena in Bercy, December 6th and 7th, with the second show to be filmed and broadcast December 7th on HBO at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So much that was taken from Paris on the tragic night of November 13th is irreplaceable, said Bono, speaking from Dublin ahead of Monday's opening show of Four in their hometown. For one night, the Killers took lives, took music, and took peace of mind, but they couldn't steal the spirit of the city. It's a spirit our band knows well and will try to serve when we return for the postponed shows on December 6th and 7th, and we're going to put on our best for Paris. The band wanted us to reschedule as soon as possible so they could honor the commitment to their audience, added U2 Innocence and Experience tour promoter and producer Arthur Fogel. Well, Scott Weiland admits life on the road appeals to him much less as he gets older. The former Stone Temple Pilots and Velvet Revolver frontman is on tour with his band, Scott Weiland and the Wildabouts, and as much as he loves performing, he says the state of the music industry makes touring more of a necessary thing than it's ever been. Weiland told South Detroit Soundhouse in an interview, it's way harder. We used to have marketing budgets of a couple of $1 million. Now it's like $75,000. You have to spend a lot of time on the road to make up for the loss of income from selling records. I'm not as keen on it as I was when I was in my 20s, especially being happily married and not being able to see my kids and stepson as much. My wife comes out and visits me on the road for a week or two at a time, but this is a long tour, 9 weeks, so I'm missing her a lot. The band Public Service Broadcasting have announced they'll stream their O2 Brixton Academy show in London November 29th. It'll be aired live via the O2 Academy Live website, 9 p.m. local time. The performance is one of three shows J. Will Goose Esquire and Wrigglesworth will play this month. They were forced to postpone five planned appearances in Edinburgh, Leeds, Liverpool, Nottingham, and Norwich due to family issues. Those dates will now take place in February. The duo have just released their Sputnik Korolev EP and have issued Peter Dundov's remix of Sputnik from that record. Well, screenings of an Eagles of Death Metal documentary have been canceled at a film festival in the Netherlands following last week's terror attacks in Paris. The film, ironically called The Redemption of the Devil, was due to debut at the International Documentary Film Festival, which runs in Amsterdam November 18th through the 29th. The film follows the band on the lead-up to the release of the latest album, Zipper Down. Those good lads at the BBC report the film was pulled as the timing felt inappropriate after the band's show at the Bataclan in French capital last week was the scene of the deadly terror attacks, in which 89 people were killed as part of a wider operation, which you've heard much about by now. Meanwhile, Eagle of Death Metal's cover of Duran Duran's track Save a Prayer, well, it reached number 53 in the UK singles chart after fans launched a campaign to get it to number one. They were short by about 52. Still, organizers say that despite not hitting their goal, they're thrilled with the international response. In a statement from the band Eagles of Death Metal for number one Facebook page reads, number one in the rock chart in 11 countries, number one in the worldwide rock chart, number one in Portugal main chart, number one in the Amazon UK main chart, and number 53 in the actual chart we were originally trying for. But what a glorious failure. Look at what we achieved around the globe and not forgetting that all the royalties proceeds will be donated by Duran Duran to a worthy and unifying cause. We weren't expecting other countries' fans to get involved, so it's been a wonderful and welcome surprise. And here's to those who went out to have a good time in Paris and never came home. Eagles of Death Metal frontman Jesse Hughes spoke for the first time since the Paris terrorist attacks. Singer believes many of the 89 killed at the Bataclan venue where the band were playing Friday the 13th died because they refused to leave their stricken friends and alone. In total, 130 people were killed by French in the French capital by gunmen and bombers. Extremist groups, of course, have taken responsibilities. In the brief trailer for the longer interview due to be released next week, Jesse Hughes told Vice.com, several people hid in our dressing room, and the killers were able to get in and killed every one of them, except for a kid that was hiding under my leather jacket. People were playing dead, and they were so scared. The great reason why so many were killed is because so many wouldn't leave their friends. Many people put themselves in front of other people. Hughes is joined by his bandmate Josh Holm in the interview. Josh was not with the band in Paris, however. Well, Adele is doing damage to the charts again. Her new album, 25, is on track to set a new record for the biggest single sales week in U.S. music history, according to Billboard. And they keep stats on these things. They report the effort sold more than 2.3 million copies in pure album sales in its first 3 days, according to Nielsen Music. 25 joins NSYNC's 2000 release, No Strings Attached, is just the second album to sell 2 million copies in the States in a single week, and Adele's latest is expected to pass that project's 2,416,000 sales as the new all-time record holder by the end of November 23rd. Music industry forecasters suggest 25 could finish the week with 2.9 million copies sold. Adele launched her third album with the lead single Hello, an instant worldwide smash, which broke streaming and downloading records in its opening weeks. Got to have our daily news about the Foo Fighters. They've released a free five-track EP called Saint Cecilia. It's available via the band's website after a countdown clock started earlier this month, and it finally reached zero. The five-track title was recorded in the Saint Cecilia Hotel in Austin, Texas, where the band were on their last U.S. leg of the Sonics Highways World Tour. Ironic last leg with Dave Grohl's broken leg, pun intended. They've dedicated the release to the victims of the Paris massacre, which led to the cancellation of the Foo's remaining European dates. Main man Dave Grohl says the Saint Cecilia Hotel, named after the patroness saint of music, is known as a lush retreat from the world. That is 14 rooms and a small bar tucked away in the trees within a bustling neighborhood. As our van pulled up in the wee hours of September 30th, 2015, I was struck with a rather impulsive idea to record some songs on our days off to give the world a thank you for the last 2 years. Returning to the city where the entire Sonic Highways concept was born, loading in one last time to a room that was never designed to be a recording studio a la Sonic Highways, and making some music. Fates? Destiny? Maybe both. The office was transformed into a control room, and the bar was littered with microphones and cables. Amps were in the kitchen, drums in front of the fireplace. Margaritas were made, so the blender was working. Friends came to visit, the sun went down, and before long we started making enough noise to drive the neighbors to, well, start drinking along with us. Again, go to the Foo Fighters website and pick up that free EP. Jimmy Page performed the Led Zeppelin classic Rock and Roll with an all-star lineup of musicians in Seattle last Thursday night, and video of the jam has been posted online. You should check it out. Page was on hand at the Experience Music Project to receive a Founders Award, and despite assurances that he would not play, he couldn't resist. The guitarist joined a cast of fellow rockers for the final song of the evening, according to Rolling Stone magazine. Page hopped on stage to deliver the Zeppelin tune alongside vocalist Paul Rogers, who he, of course, had played with in The Firm back in the 80s, William Duvall, who's the current vocalist in Alice in Chains, and John Hogg of the band Mox. Eight guitarists were up there, including Soundgarden's Kim Thayall, Cheap Trick's Rick Nielsen, who was hard to recognize without his trademark baseball cap, EMP founder and Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen, as well as bass player Duff McKagan and Tesla's Brian Wheat, and former Screaming Trees drummer Barrett Martin. In addition to Page's honor, the benefit event was a fundraiser for the Seattle Museum's youth arts education efforts. And the evening featured a lineup of guests performing tunes from Page's career, including former Black Crowes guitarist Rich Robinson. Of course, the Black Crowes had done a quick tour with Jimmy Page in the early 2000s. You can find that music out there online. They played the Greek. And Nirvana's Chris Novoselic. Seriously, it's something kind of cool to see. You can go online and find that at rollingstone.com. Def Leppard guitarist Phil Collins' blues project Delta Deep has released a lyric video for the seasonal track Take Me Home for Christmas. It's available this Friday. The song sees Collins joined by singer Debbie Blackwell Cook, Stone Temple Pilots bassist Robert DeLeo, and drummer Forrest Robinson. Delta Deep has a great Christmas song reminiscent of 1940s jazz era, explains Collins. We didn't plan it that way, but it's just how the song came out. We love it because it's not like your traditional Christmas song. It's a track that can literally be played year-round simply because it's mellow and full of that smoky blues sound that's part of all of us. Delta Deep released their self-titled debut album earlier this year, and the set includes guest appearances by Def Leppard vocalist Joe Elliott, Whitesnake's David Coverdale, Sex Pistols' Man Ray's drummer Phil Cook, and Girl Man Ray's bassist Simon Laffey. That was Phil Collins' band before he joined Def Leppard. Def Leppard's new self-titled album recently debuted at number 10 on the UB Billboard 200. Well, this news might not shock you when I say it's from the state of Florida, but a chief of a Florida police force which fired a police officer after he sang with a local death metal band while on duty says he didn't want the public to, quote-unquote, be in fear of the officer. Apparently, Officer Andrew Ricks of the City of Sanford Police Department joined Vital Remains on stage at West End Trading Company venue in Sanford and helped introduce their track, Let the Killing Begin. The video was sent to the chief, Cecil B. Smith, who reacted by bringing the officer's impending resignation forward. If you want to get kicked off the force, that's a textbook way to get that done. Now, Smith says that Rick's stunt was the latest in a string of incidents which cumulatively resulted in his being sacked. But he adds that Rick's actions were inappropriate, especially in the wake of the incident recently in Paris. He told the Daily Beast of the UK, "The song Let the Killing Begin is not an appropriate response to anything, considering the tensions between law enforcement and the communities, and considering the circumstances of things that have taken place in Paris and around our country. The last thing I want to do is have anyone be in fear of one of our police officers." For folks to believe that he was terminated because of the circumstances isn't true. What would have probably happened if Officer Ricks had remained on the job is that we would have completed the internal investigation, for which he would have most likely received some form of discipline. Note to self, if you're an officer of the law, you might want to stick to karaoke at an off-duty police bar where you're safe in the future. In Australia, AC/DC were inducted into the Age Music Victoria's Hall of Fame in Victoria, Australia on November 20th. The Age reports the 10th anniversary event at the Peleus Theatre in St. Kilda saw the band honored as one of 10 inductees, including The Seekers, Olivia Newton-John, the late radio DJ Stan Rofe, the Peleus Theatre, and Archie Roach. In a statement, AC/DC lead guitarist Angus Young said it was, quote, "an absolute honor to be recognized in the 10th year of the Hall of Fame. Victoria has a special place in our hearts, especially the early years of the band. Thank you for the induction into the Age Music Victoria Hall of Fame," unquote. Music Victoria Chief Executive Patrick Donovan said AC/DC became a sensation on Rip and Leah-based Countdown as soon as the show exploded colorfully on the national TV and soon launched themselves onto the world. Two of the world's best guitarists, Angus on lead and Malcolm on rhythm, forging some of the biggest, baddest riffs we'll ever know, said Donovan. Then they moved to Melbourne, sharing a rental house in Lansdowne Road, St. Kilda, where they jammed and practiced, played blues records, and wrote songs through the day and night. Now they're in the Australian Hall of Fame. Another band from Down Under, Wolf Mother, are streaming two tracks from their forthcoming album, Victorious. The Australian rockers are sharing City Lights and the title track to their fourth album and first since 2014's New Crown. Both tunes are available as instant downloads with pre-orders of Victorious, which was recorded at Henson Studios in Los Angeles with famed producer Brendan O'Brien. Due February 19th, Victorious sees sole original member, vocalist-guitarist Andrew Stockdale, also handle bass duties and joined on the project by drummers Josh Fries of Nine Inch Nails, Bruce Springsteen of Perfect Circle, and Joey Warrenker of Air, Beck, and R.E.M. Stockdale began working on the record this past January at his Byron Bay studio in New South Wales, writing on every instrument and embracing the same creative approach he used on the band's debut album a decade ago. So back in the day, I'd play guitar, bass, and drums, and then present the ideas to the band, and we'd work on an arrangement together, says Stockdale. I thought it would be cool to get back to demoing ideas by myself and playing everything. It's a good way to do things because it can make the style more cohesive. I wanted to get back to that big sound, and this album is a balance of garagey energy and big production. It's pretty wild, energetic, and perfect for a festival main stage. Adam Lambert watched as many Freddie Mercury video clips as he could, he said, online before singing with Queen, he's revealed. The American Idol finalist has been performing alongside Brian May and Roger Taylor since 2011. They're currently touring North America, then playing the UK and Europe in January. Lambert told Absolute Radio in an interview, "I did some studying. I felt I really needed to. I was pretty familiar with them, but when I first started working with them, that's when I went on to the internet and scoured everything." He adds a Mercury performance in Montreal stood out. He's running around in shorts, no shoes on. Watching him in that zone really made me understand him. He didn't really care. He was like, "I'm going to do whatever I want." I think he kind of defined what a rock star was to me. He doesn't actually care, and he's fabulous doing it. Well, the band The Orchard have snapped up the rights to Shrapnel Records' back catalog. It's been announced as part of the deal. The Orchard will oversee physical and digital distribution of Shrapnel's 322-album archive, which includes music by Marty Friedman, Yngwie Malmsteen, Richie Kotzen, Tony McAlpine, Greg Howe, Jason Becker, and Vinnie Moore. Shrapnel Records founder Mike Varney says the distribution landscape has changed dramatically in the last 10 years, requiring greater staffing with expertise in digital distribution. Although the Shrapnel label group will continue making new records, the expanded distribution and accompanying administration of the back catalog was something we felt could be best served in a larger company. He continues, as a pioneer in digital distribution with a tremendous track record of more than 15 years, The Orchard was in a stronger position to effectively realize this for our catalog. Congratulations. Coldplay have announced the first series of dates for a 2016 world tour. They'll be launching in the new year in support of their forthcoming album, A Head Full of Dreams. So we're excited to announce the Latin American and European legs of next year's Head Full of Dreams tour, says the band, with 20 stadium shows confirmed across 14 countries in Europe and Latin America. Dates begin in Buenos Aires, Argentina, March 31st, and the first of seven concerts in the region, while a European run is going to set in Nice, France, May 24th. Tickets for the UK and European shows go on general sale Friday, November 27th, at 9:30 a.m. local time in the UK and 10 a.m. all other time zones via Ticketmaster. Thanks for tuning in to Backbeat Radio. I'm Jay Cruz. If you're on Facebook, you can like the Backbeat Radio page. Just find Backbeat Radio and give it a thumbs up. I would appreciate it. We'll be back in a moment with more Backbeat Word Around the Streets music news today on Black Friday. Backbeat Radio on HealthyLife.net.
Like what you hear? Tell your friends. Thanks for listening to HRNRadio.com.
Backbeat Radio, kind of paying salute to Black Friday and Record Store Day. We'll have a couple quotes a little bit later on in the show, but right now some more Backbeat Word on the Street and music news. Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page says he's planning on recording his first solo album in almost 30 years in 2016, and he says he wants to play live again next year. Next year I'm going to be working on the guitar, so it's time for me to go out there and do a solo album. My last solo album was 1988, Page told Bang Showbiz at a recent Classic Rock and Roll of Honor Awards in London. I haven't really milked the situation. It's time to do another one. I'm known for playing many styles of guitar, and I need to revisit all the different styles I can play. So Page plans to start the project as an instrumental effort before considering adding other players, including a lead vocalist. So I'm not thinking about singers. I'm thinking of an instrumental thing, and I want to work with my strengths rather than my weaknesses, he explains. I want to work with myself, and I want to get myself up and running, and once I'm ready, think about whether I need someone to sing on the music. The Led Zeppelin mastermind says he'll follow up the project with a return to the stage. So I want to be playing live again, but that won't be until next year. I've planned all this a while ago, Jimmy Page said. So I want to start in the UK, and I've got ideas, but I want to wait and see what happens. I'd like to do Glastonbury. I could do a sort of karaoke night with Led Zeppelin songs. So I'm sure people would pay lots of money to see that. In the meantime, there's a stream of Van Halen performing Big Fat Money in the studio, and it's been released. The instrumental performance was captured during the sessions for 1995 album Balance and has been made available by Van Halen News Desk. The site says of the song, the solo on this track was recorded in one take on a Gibson ES-335. That's the kind of guitar that B.B. King made famous with Lucille, and they played it through Ed's Marshall amp. Ed was fooling around with some suggestions from Bruce Fairbairn, and unbeknownst to him, Bruce was taping his first attempt. Fairbairn decided he liked what he heard. So a lot of thought went into the coin sound at the end of the song. Everyone crowded around the recording console, and they were dropping quarters, dimes, nickels, and pennies until they got the perfect sound. Van Halen News Desk will issue previously unheard instrumental tracks twice a week for the next 2 weeks. Lynyrd Skynyrd have canceled the remaining two concerts of their 2015 schedule as guitarist Gary Rossington continues to recover from a heart attack he suffered October 8th. After further evaluation and continued treatment by his doctors, Gary Rossington is taking the remainder of 2015 off from touring to concentrate on recuperating from his recent heart procedures, said the band. Lynyrd Skynyrd will be canceling or rescheduling the remaining two shows in Loveland, Colorado at the Budweiser Event Center December 4th, and Mescalero, New Mexico, at the Inn of Mountain Gods Casino, December 5th. Now, wait a second. There's a place called the Inn of Mountain Gods, and it's a casino? Interesting. In the meantime, full refunds for those Lynyrd Skynyrd shows will be provided at point of purchase or through the box office. Skynyrd will commence touring in 2016. I look forward to seeing the fans next year. I'm sorry, Inn of Mountain Gods Casino. Wow. Rossington's daughter, Mary Elizabeth, broke the news of his health issue last month, saying Dad had a heart attack. They went in to repair and unclog the two stents they did previously in the year, which had a blood clot. Added a third stent to one vein, and in 2 weeks we will need to go in and do a fourth stent in one of his bypassed veins from 12 years ago. Wow. Both his daughter and the band have issued statements saying that the guitarist is expected to make a full recovery. Rosington is the sole remaining founding member of Lynyrd Skynyrd, whose roots trace back to 1964 in Jacksonville, Florida. Last month, the group released Pronounced, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and Second Helping live from Jacksonville at the Florida Theater on DVD, Blu-ray, and digital formats. The set captures the legendary Southern rock band performing the first two studio albums live in their entirety for the first time before a hometown crowd. And of course, much of the history and tragedy of Lynyrd Skynyrd involved the plane crash in October of 1977. Well, the band Fear Factory had a bit of a bump on the road this week. They escaped the tour bus crash, however, without injury when their vehicle was involved in a road incident in Germany on Tuesday. They were traveling to their show in Munich as part of the European tour in support of their latest album, Genexus. So it followed two more serious crashes in the U.S. last week where the Ghost Inside's driver was killed and members of Hinder's party suffered broken bones. Fear Factory guitarist Dino Cesaris reports everyone was okay, just a little shaken up. Doesn't help when it's 4:30 a.m. and snowing outside. The band have just launched another episode of their tour, Vlog, I guess that's a video blog, covering their visit to Paris in the aftermath of the terrorist attacks and their return to the UK in December. Well, Bay Area music legends Journey announced that Steve Smith, their former drummer, has joined the band as they announced the San Francisco Fest 2016 tour, along with the Doobie Brothers and guest Dave Mason. Now, Smith played with Journey during their commercial peak from 1978 through 1985 and returned a decade later for a second stint from 95 through 98. Through the years, Smith appeared on several of Journey's guitarist Neil Schon's solo albums, including 2012's The Calling and The Vortex, released in 2015. Now, the news follows the summer 2015 firing of Dean Castronovo after his personal issues and domestic violence charges stemming from a pair of arrests earlier this year in Salem, Oregon. Castronovo pleaded guilty to two counts of fourth-degree assault constituting domestic violence, two counts of menacing constituting domestic violence, unlawful use of a weapon, and coercion. And the drummer received a suspended sentence and 4 years of probation. The former drummer, Dean Castronovo, which led to Steve Smith's return. The four-month San Francisco Fest 2016 tour across North America will begin May 12th in Irvine, California. It's going to be a great summer for fans of Bay Area music and for guys like us who have the pleasure of teaming up with our good friends from Journey and the Dave Mason Band, said Tom Johnson and Patrick Simmons of the Doobie Brothers. More Bay Area music connections as Major League Baseball's San Francisco Giants will host the fourth annual Metallica Night at AT&T Park in 2016. A portion of the proceeds from every Metallica Day special event ticket will benefit the Surf Rider Foundation and another as-yet-named charity. We're honored that our hometown baseball team has invited us back yet again, said the band. We'll all be on hand for Orange Friday, May 6, 2016, as the Colorado Rockies come to town to take the field against the Giants. And as always, the night will kick off with the national anthem and first pitch. We'll stick around all night, cheer on the orange and black with all the loyal fans, and keep your eyes peeled to spot us participating in some in-between action. Nothing like a pepper game with the guys in the band. The special event Metallica ticket package includes a ticket to the game and a limited edition Metallica Giants goodie that we'll tell you about at a later date. They have released special edition bobbleheads in the past, special edition t-shirts, hats. Eagles of Death metal drummer Julian Doreo has taken to social media to share his thoughts on the recent attacks in Paris. His band, of course, as you know, was playing a show at Paris's historic Bataclan Theater when the terrorists attacked, holding many concertgoers hostage. In part, Doreo writes, "I'm beyond grateful that I was able to find a way out of the venue, but I am mourning those who did not, including our mate, Nick Alexander. My thoughts are with their families." He continues, "To everyone who, in the face of unrelenting evil, went toe-to-toe using courage, compassion, and love as their weapons, you are all my heroes." Well, Beatles fans will have the chance to own the first pressing of one of the band's most iconic albums, as Ringo Starr is looking to part with some 1,300 items between now and early December through Julian's Auction House. While the majority of the former Beatle treasures include artwork, There are a number of pieces that could pique a fan's interest, including Ringo's copy of the UK's first pressing of the White Album, numbered number 1000001. It has been widely known among collectors that the four members of the Beatles kept numbers 1 through 4, but it was not commonly known that Starr was given the number 1 album, says the posting on Julian's website. That is a highly sought-after collector's item. Whitesnake have released a new music video of the classic Deep Purple track The Gypsy, which is one of the covers of the iconic group's classics from Whitesnake's latest release, The Purple Album. The tune, which originally appeared on 1974's Stormbringer, is featured on the group's 12th album, which sees frontman David Coverdale re-recording classic songs from the Deep Purple Mark III and Mark IV records he appeared on, including 1974's Burn and Stormbringer and 75's Come Taste the Band. The Purple Album debuted on the U.S. charts earlier this year at number 6 on the top current hard rock music albums, number 15 on top current rock albums, number 43 on top current albums, and number 84 on Billboard Top 200 charts. Whitesnake are currently playing dates on a European tour and will join Def Leppard for a co-headlining UK run next month, where the pair of veteran rockers will be joined by openers Black Star Riders. Getting ready to take a break here in a moment. Let our listeners know that if you're on Twitter, you can find Backbeat Radio on Twitter as well, Backbeat_radio. Find who's coming up, a couple quotes, sharing some music news, and keep in mind information about the show on Twitter at Backbeat_radio. I'm Jay Cruz. We'll be back in a moment to talk about Black Friday and Record Store Day, kind of a celebration for music fans the day after Thanksgiving as we kick off our Christmas holiday shopping season. And we'll talk about records and record stores in just a moment.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
It is Black Friday here on Backbeat Radio, taking a look at Record Store Day. Some of you have probably already bypassed the HealthyLife.net news at 7 to go out and get some great deals on stuff that you could buy later on and wait till the after Christmas sales and stuff like that. But it is exciting if you have a high-ticket item and get a good deal and one of those lucky folks to do so. Of course, there's a lot of stores that are closed today have made a issue of drawing their line in the sand about saying they're actually paying their employees to go out and hike. I know REI, noted for their outdoor lifestyle type of store, is one of those stores that did so. One of the things I'm in particular support of, if you are going to go out and shop, and you don't have to do it at 7 in the morning, it's going on all day, although record store buyers typically, guys, that get their fans a little bit sooner, so you definitely do want to be the early board. We're talking Black Friday's Record Store Day, and it's happening. It's the second time it happens in a year. Usually the first Record Store Day happens around Earth Day, somewhere around the 20th, 21st, 22nd of April, and is now part two, if you will, on Black Friday. Well, a little question and answer found on recordstoreday.com's website, and some frequently asked questions about the Black Friday Record Store Day, like why are the organizers of Record Store Day celebrating Black Friday? Well, in the past, Black Friday was an American event created by large corporate retailers as a shopping day that promoted mass-produced items at super low prices in hopes of driving customers into their stores. Record Store Day's Black Friday subverts the model and creates pieces of art in the form of limited special editions, often numbered from a diverse list of beloved artists. Record Store Day's version of Black Friday is an excuse to celebrate both the pieces themselves and the special indie record stores who carry them. Cheap, mass-produced frenzy is not the goal. When is Record Store Day's Black Friday? The same day as the other one, always the day after Thanksgiving. This year, Black Friday is today, Friday, November 27th. Now, who was on board to be part of Record Store Day's Black Friday? For better or worse, Black Friday is a North American thing. The United States and Canadian record stores will be participating by stocking special releases, although some of the releases may be different in the U.S. and Canada. Some stores in the UK and Europe may have special releases as well, but they most likely won't be using the term Black Friday. It'll be more about a kickoff to the holiday shopping season. They're a little more civil in other places. Is Black Friday really Record Store Day too? No. The special release for Record Store Day are made to be sold solely at independently owned Record Store Day's record stores on their Record Store Day. That takes place the third Saturday of every April, whereas Black Friday releases are made for the holiday season. This means stores will launch the special releases on Black Friday, but may choose to carry them beyond Black Friday as supplies last. They are still limited runs. Black Friday is really more of a special release date than a one-day holiday like Record Store Day. These independently owned record stores, shops, will also choose whether or not they want to sell their Black Friday releases on their websites to draw attention to the fact that many of them offer excellent customer service options for those who wish to support independently owned record stores via internet purchases during the holiday season and beyond. Can fans of Record Store Day expect a similar number of special, unique releases made for Black Friday as they've seen for Record Store Day? There will be a markedly fewer titles during the Black Friday period than you'll find on Record Store Day release list. By design, Record Store Day is not attempting to create the massive music celebration of Record Store Day. Rather, we're reminding music fans about the gift of music at the kickoff of the holiday season. We'll call it a victory if fewer cheap toasters and socks are given as gifts and more awesome music by some of the greatest artists of our time exchange hands. Think about it. There's nothing sold in a record store that wouldn't make a great present for someone, or, of course, for yourself. So how can music fans find a local store who is celebrating Black Friday? Well, music fans can go to www.recordstoreday.com and click the link for participating stores. But as stores do their own purchasing, we cannot tell you which stores will carry which titles, if any. Also, some stores on the site specialize in pre-loved music and choose not to stock new releases. We also encourage you to find a store near you and then strike up a conversation with them to find out what their plans are. A visit to a record store is really never a waste of time. Will every store listed on the website participate in Black Friday? By definition, these stores are independent. That means they'll choose whether they wish to participate. Generally speaking, a lot of them will. Will the participating stores carry all the Record Store Day's Black Friday releases? Some will, but selection will vary from store to store depending on what they think their customers will want. Where can music fans get a complete list of Record Store Day's Black Friday releases? Again, and as of late October, a complete list was available on www.recordstoreday.com, as well as a PDF that you can print out and use as a gift shopping guide, or maybe even better, as a wish list. Just go out and buy some records today for Black Friday, Record Store Day. Independent record stores need your love, too. And, of course, over the weekend, Small Business Saturday. There's a couple quotes from some artists and members of the music business about records and Record Store Day. Here's one from Jeff Tweedy saying, "My introduction, all this great music into the music business came from hanging around and eventually working in independent record stores. Nothing beats browsing in your favorite store, listening to music, finding something old or new that you've been searching for, and all of that. And without these stores, there's just no way Wilco would still be around. Ever since I was 12 years old and my fascination and obsession with music started, I would get on my skateboard and ride down to the local record store. I'd find the most tattooed guy there and have him recommend me a new album once a week. Then I'd learn it and play it on my drums. With internet and technology, there are some great platforms of discovering music, but I would hate for kids to be deprived of the incredible experience of discovering music through their local record stores. Just keep record stores alive and well, please." That's from Josh Dunn. "So I don't know if I ever would have had the exposure to roots and world music, folk, blues, classic jazz, gypsy, Celtic, African Latin, had it not been for combing the racks of the local independent record stores in the Cambridge-Boston area when I was in college in the years since. Those mom-and-pop stores and small chains like Radio provided the rich soil from which so much of my passion and education sprang. Having the ability to linger and talk about selections with a staff person who really knew their stuff and was able to illuminate why certain albums by a given artist were better than others or steer me to new exciting finds I never would have discovered without their help. That's another reason why preserving these independent record stores is so crucial. It's the personal connection, the vastly more extensive collections, and being part of the community of like-minded music fans that makes such difference. I love striking up conversations or just spending hours reading notes on vinyl record covers and having the visceral experience of being surrounded by so much history and variety. Nothing like it. So much of what I love about music of all kinds and eras was hatched by just this kind of discovery and choice. The decisions about what to carry in the overall service of these stores is what has made so many of us who we are as musicians and people, indelible, irreplaceable, and a treasure to protect." And that's from Bonnie Raitt. "As a band, our love of records and actual CDs has never waned. There's something spiritual about holding an album in your hands and reading through the lyrics while you're losing yourself in the music. I'll pass my collection of records down to my kids and grandkids someday so that they can experience the magic that just can't be downloaded. Record Store Day is our turn to show our appreciation for the people that allow us to live our dreams through music. There's nothing more powerful than possessing a piece of art that your favorite band has worked so hard to push into the world. Let's keep these stores alive. We'll see you on Record Store Day." That's from Lizzie Hale. Some of my fondest childhood memories are of going to a small record store in Florence, Alabama called The Turning Point every Friday or Saturday afternoon. I would skip lunch at school and save my lunch money for the week, and it would put me within a dollar or two of having enough for a record a week. This is 1974 prices. It doubled as a head shop, and the smell of incense burning always made me think, even in fifth grade or so, that it was covering up the smell of something else being burned in the back. Probably was, actually, but I was very attracted to that thought and just loved the whole experience. After they shut that store down, I began going to a smaller but really well-stocked store across the river. The manager, their name was Jay, and he turned me on to the Rolling Stones and Bruce Springsteen and upteen other acts. We became lifelong friends. In fact, he road-tripped into Athens, Georgia this weekend to see my band play here. He runs Plan 9 in Richmond, which is about as good a store as any in America, and he still is turning me on to great bands. When I was 14, they built a mall on my side of the river with a record bar in it. They were a chain, but in those days it was a pretty cool one. When I turned 16, it became my first job. I was a terrible employee, but I'm convinced they never fired me because I spent all my paycheck on records and I knew our inventory inside out. Actually, they eventually did fire me, but by then I had grown into a pretty decent employee and the company had gone all corporate, so I had to go. We have a turntable on our tour bus and we go scouring for little indie record stores in every town, and I still blow my whole per diem on records. Here I am, 43, with a wife and child, and I'm still misappropriating my lunch money like a fifth grader. The record label's throwing the indie stores to the wolves and casting their lot with a faceless megastores is indicative of the mindset that's put them in such sorry shape of late. The indie record store was the closest link between music and the consumer, and there was no replacing that interaction. It's good, though. It's good to see that some of the surviving indie stores are, in some cases, showing growth largely due to sales of vinyl records. It is an interesting time to watch how all of this is going to pan out. Long live record stores. That's from the Patterson Hood of the band Drive-By Truckers. Independent record stores are much more than the name suggests. They are an international community and platform where music has an outlet and an opportunity to grow over a long term in a way that sincerely connects with community and culture. They are also a magnificent mob of highly opinionated musical bandits, which I am proud to call my pals. Bill, keep that Indian ring shining for me. Matt, I'll meet you in the morning for breakfast. John, we'll always have Paris. Rhino, straight out of Claremont's. It's from Ben Harper, who's going to be having a release coming up on this record store day as well. My early record shopping experiences were my musical backdrop. It's not just the ability to touch, see, and smell an album in the artwork. It's the fact that you are in a real place with real people, and not just any people, other music-obsessed freaks like you. I discovered so many bands by just hanging out, talking to shopkeepers, getting recommendations from some random dude who was flipping through the Nick Cave bootleg boxes fervently as I was. Every time I'm in a different city on tour, I make a point to hit the indie retail record stores to see what they're spinning and selling because I just love being there, my own personal and sometimes anonymous church. You can't get that feeling behind your computer ever. That's from Amanda Palmer of the Dresden Dolls. And that is a number of incredible, cool stories and quotes from folks buying records over the years. And a lot of those stories reminisce and resonate with me. I remember saving my lunch money for a week so I could always be within a dollar or two of an album per week sometime in there as well. We'd go to the store like usually late in the week after I'd get an allowance or save up lunch money for a week or so until I could be able to do that. I also remember an experience when I bought my first Beatles record. I think that's an experience for many rock and roll music fans. Beatles is always a band that many people start off with. Kind of growing up, they're already huge on the radio and already pretty popular, so it's very easy to fall into that, and they do have good songs. So, of course, as a kid, I was very attracted to the pretty much obvious radio hit, I Want to Hold Your Hand, Ticket to Ride, Help, Love Me Do, all those hits that we all heard in the early 60s by the Beatles, and they had a couple albums. There was the Beatles' early 60s, like 1962 to 1965, the short-haired Beatles, the hit Beatles, the pop music Beatles. And then there's the 1965 to 1969 album, when the Beatles didn't get haircuts quite as often, even though they certainly could afford them. They'd sold a lot of money records by then. Anyway, that's the second half of the 60s and a bit more experimental. Still songs that made it on the radio, but for me as a young kid, I hadn't discovered those songs quite yet. So I remember it was the day I was buying that Beatles album, and my mom I had to go to the store. We went by the record store. It's actually at a Kmart, which had a pretty healthy record section, and I'd been by and had read the back and front of these titles so many times, I was pretty confident I knew exactly what I'd be picking up and was able to handle buying the record in just a couple minutes and then meeting my mom back in the other part of the store so we could get on with the rest of whatever we had to get on with that day. So those two albums had, again, pictures of the short-haired Beatles in red in suits and then pictures of the long-haired Beards in suits, but not matching on the back. Obviously, the shift of the 60s has happened, and most of us know the history of what was going on behind the scenes. I really didn't have such a reference at that point other than I knew they changed a little bit with everyone else in the 60s. So needless to say, I ended up buying the album that was from the later half of the 60s as a young kid with the intention of buying, again, the very standard Love Me Do, Help, Ticket to Ride, Pop Beatles. I got that record home very excited to listen to it and put it on. And let's just say my little mind was pretty blown away. I thought the music was good. It was certainly not what I expected. And probably from that accidental happy experience, it really expanded my musical taste quite quickly and gave me something that, well, eventually would lead to being quite an open musical mind the rest of my life, and a happy accident buying the wrong Beatles album and walking away a much bigger and much more developed fan. The only thing I was slightly sad about is I was going to have to save up another couple weeks of lunch money to go get the record with Ticket to Ride and Love Me Do, the one I originally wanted. As it turned out, once I got that album, I liked the second album better. Who would have thought? What a magical surprise. Anyway, hopefully your record store day Black Friday experience will be that way too. And go out and look at some record stores. Reminisce. It's always a great way to get in touch with your good memories from your youth. I'm Jay Cruz. Thanks for tuning in to Black Backbeat Radio today on Black Friday and celebrating Record Store Day. Go out and buy some records and tune in next week here at 12 noon Pacific time and available on demand on HealthyLife.net Radio.